Joining us now is Dr. Fred Pescator, and he'll talk about how allergies and asthma may be banished for good by changing some habits. Hi, Dr. Pescator. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be able to share this great information with everyone.
Great. I just want to give your book out again. Actually, it's called The Allergy and Asthma Cure. But first of all, before we begin, just let everyone know what integrative medicine is.
Well, integrative medicine is really just I think it's the most modern form of medicine there is. It's basically where you combine all of the traditional medical training. I went to medical school like every other doctor, and then combine it with sort of what some people might consider alternative or complementary or integrative or whatever word that you choose to use, but it's more of where you just you use all the healing arts, basically. So whether it's acupuncture, whether it's vitamins, nutritional supplements, whether it's chiropractic, just everything. Just combine it all so that the person gets well, because that's what we're really here for, is for patients who come to see us to get well. And that's what integrative and complementary medicine is all about.
Now, in the allergy and asthma cure, I have to tell you, you had me at the introduction with that. When you told this story about a little boy who was overweight and he had trouble breathing and he was allergic to everything and he had asthma and he was afraid to go swimming and his health wasn't good and he was taking inhalers and medications, and then when he became a teenager, he decided he wanted to lose weight and he went on a diet with specific foods, and then to his unbeknownst to him, he ended up not needing his inhalers and antihistamines, and that little boy was you.
That was me. I mean, it's amazing, huh? I mean, it's amazing how you get into your career and your life's work, right?
Exactly. So you ate basically meat and salads, and that led you into this whole career.
Right, and it led me into this whole path that I've now been going down for longer than I cared to just talk about.
Now, what are the different types of allergies?
Well, I think, I mean, when we're looking at allergies, I think what most people really suffer from, there are many different allergies in terms of contact, where you touch something, that's where you touch something and your skin either breaks out or you get a hive or something, like contact dermatitis. I mean, there's inhalant allergies, which is really what most people suffer from, in terms of pollen. It's ragweed season, you mentioned, right? So we're out of grasses and now we're into ragweed, and then we'll be coming into mold season pretty soon once all the leaves fall off the trees and stuff. So that's what most people suffer from. And then, there's food allergies. And those are really, really quite serious. I mean, that's where you can die from a food allergy, where your throat closes up and constricts and all sorts of things. But I think my sort of approach in the allergy and asthma cure really focuses much more on the inhalant type of allergies, contact allergies. In there is something for eczema, psoriasis, skin diseases. I lump them all together because they really are, they represent to me just one thing, which is inflammation in the body.
And now, there's a link between allergies and asthma. What's the percentage of people that have allergies have asthma?
You're asking me percentages. I knew it when I wrote the book, but there's a lot. I mean, it's a great deal of overlap, and in this day and age, it's being diagnosed more and more that people who have allergies are getting asthma, and vice versa. And it's really, when you look at school children and how many of them are carrying inhalers to school, and even adults these days, every adult that goes to a doctor has a cold now comes back with, an antibiotic, a cough medicine, and an inhaler to take. And those inhalers those inhalers increase the risk of sudden death by cardiac arrest. So they're not benign sort of things that, I'll just puff on this and I'll feel better. Well, puff on it and you can end up in the emergency room. So it's kind of things we want to sort of try to make people realize that the two are very closely linked, and that's why they're both in the title.
Why so many people with allergies today? Is it the environment or what's going on?
Well, we don't really know that. I mean, we think it's the environment. We think the fact that we're overburdened with chemicals and we're overburdened with stress. And I mean, my whole belief system is that's really what the real answer is. I mean, we are so bombarded with toxins everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, every cleaning solution, every dry cleaning solution, every rug, everything, every piece of linoleum, every piece of plastic. I mean, everything leaches out toxins. And I think we're so overburdened with that, plus the stress and the quick life, the fast lifestyles we all lead, and the fact that we don't eat correctly, is enough to make our bodies really just sort of overstretched, and our bodies can't handle the excess sort of toxin that it gets in terms of the pollen or of the thing that you touch or the food or something like that. So I think it's just a real combination of the fact that we are just so out there in terms of how toxic our bodies are.
Now, if someone is experiencing symptoms of itchy eyes, runny nose, congestion, headaches, and so many other symptoms related to allergies, what would their first step be?
I mean, the first step, I think, in this whole sort of allergy and asthma cure thing is really identify what could possibly be causing it. I mean, that's, again, when you talk about what's integrative medicine and that sort of thing, I'm always looking to find out what's the underlying issue. Like, what's causing your problem? I don't want to put a Band-Aid on you. I don't want to give you Singulair, Zyrtec, or whatever, Claritin, Benadryl. I don't want to give you that and say, okay, go away, and it'll get better. Because it will. I mean, it won't change the situation that's going on inside your body. So when you experience symptoms like that, you've got, you know, a light bulb has to go off, and you've got to kind of say to yourself, okay, what is it? Is it the dust in my house? Is it the shampoo? Is it the conditioner? Is it the bleach I'm using? Is it the time of the year? Is it spring? Is it summer? Is it fall? I mean, when do these things happen? And you kind of, you have to be a little bit of a detective at the beginning until you figure it out, unless it's so clear cut. I mean, you walk into a room, there's a cat, and you start sneezing and crying. I mean, you kind of know that that's kind of an easy one. But a lot of times people, they're so subtle, people don't know. And that's sort of step one of trying to figure it all out.
Okay, what would that entail then? Would that be a skin test or...
Well, we have so many different. I mean, everybody's heard of the skin prick testing,
right?
And there's but the problem is there's so many different types of tests. But the older we get, the less sensitive they are, because our immune systems don't function as well. And I mean, and that's even after the age of 30, those skin tests are really not good for you. Then there's blood tests called RAS testing, which a lot of people may have gotten, but that only looks at one specific immunoglobulin, which is IgE, and IgE is just one very specific allergy or allergic inflammatory marker. It doesn't look at all of them. So there are different things that other things that one can do. What I have people do is sort of keep checklists and do food sensitivity testing so that they can see if it's any of their foods that they're doing and just sort of different things. I think RAS panels are important, you know, because it will give you a clue. They're not, you can't, if it's positive, it's positive. If it's negative, it doesn't mean it's not positive. Does that make sense?
Right. Now, you mentioned the blood test, though. If you go to your doctor, how will they determine what blood test to give you? Is it just up to them, or...
Well, it shouldn't be up to them. I mean, it really, they're like, for instance, for what works for my patients, what I find works for my patients is, you know, we live in the Northeast. You can get a RAS panel that takes care of anything that lives in our region in the Northeast. Trees, molds, grasses, all that stuff. I always add dust mites because dust is a really important one, and people live with dust mites every single day and think, oh, well, my house is clean and I don't have dust mites. Well, you know what? You do. Because everybody's got them. And it's just a matter of keeping them clean, it's just a matter of eliminating them, and that's, you know, you can use neem to eliminate them. That's an all-natural product.
And encasing.
And you know what? You know
what
we found out is that the encasing doesn't work because they're so small. They get out through the zipper.
Okay.
So they get out through those little tiny holes in the zipper, so it's really, you know, the casings aren't all that important. But there's this great product called MiteSal, which actually you can use to actually kills mites up to a year. So if you just have to spray your mattress and pillows and, you know, in the kids' room, teddy bears and things like that.
Right. Do air purifiers work?
I have one. You know what I mean? I'm not so sure.
Okay.
I'm not so sure about that. But there is one blood test that your regular old conventional doc will do. And then there's the one called the Alcat, which
right.
is the one I like to use, which mm-hmm. is which sort of looks at 100 foods. It can also look at, the beauty of it is it can look at food preservatives, it can look at colorings, it can look at additives, and you'd be surprised at how many things people are sensitive to. And these are not allergies when I look at the Alcat test. And that's a big differential. Like a food allergy is something where your throat's going to close up, you're going to break out in hives, you can die from that. You know, and this is something completely different. These are food sensitivities. These are things that you may not even recognize until you see them on the sheet of paper that, oh, you know what, when I do eat X, Y happens. Or now that I've eliminated X, I feel so much better. And when I put it back in, I feel sick again. So you don't really realize it. And I think it's because, you know, part of it is we don't realize it because every day we eat and we don't even, I think most of us, ever give it a minute's thought as to what we're eating.
Exactly, right. I actually followed up with the Alcat today. I thought I could give out some of the information for the Rockland residents in terms of what doctors use it. But they had just suggested, I have a number I can give out at the end of the show, and they said they give free physician referrals, and then they also send a mobile a nurse out to their home or office if they need the test. But
that's
outside New York City area to call the number. Otherwise, if they're in the city, they can just go see you.
Oh, well, I didn't know they did that.
But they also said they just launched today, actually, a finger test that tests for 20 different foods.
Oh.
So that's an interesting type thing. It's like a little, that would, you know, instead
like
of a
for diabetic.
Exactly, right.
Finger.
But not two vials of blood, actually, to obtain for a blood test to see if you're allergic or sensitive to 150 different foods, I don't think is a bad thing at all.
No, not at all. I would do it, I do it all
yeah,
the time. And it's worthwhile repeating, you know, every year or so.
Exactly.
Just to kind of, you know, it keeps the body's inflammation at bay, because that's what this is all about.
Right.
I mean, it's all about anything that you can do, because we so know now that inflammation is the root cause of heart disease. It's the root cause of diabetes. It's the root cause of stroke. It's the root cause of heart attacks. It's estimated that 175 million Americans suffer from one form of inflammatory condition or another. So inflammation is not just about arthritis anymore. I mean, inflammation has some serious consequences, because that will lead to plaque formation and to giving you that heart attack and things like that. So we've got to get rid of any little bits of inflammation that we can in our body.
Right. And you outline actually very well all the foods not to eat, which there's a long list of them, but then it's okay because you go into the foods that you can eat, and then you give a meal plan and you give recipes, which is perfect.
Well,
because it's easier to follow that way.
Well, you have to, I mean, it's asking a lot of people. but I have to tell you, the results are amazing. I mean, I just saw this little boy yesterday who I put on the program about 9 months ago. And he had just spent the summer, you know, doing what little boys do, you know, at camp and things like that and all that stuff and playing basketball and basketball camps and all these things.
Right.
Could never, ever do it before in his life. Never, ever could he do that before in his life. And he was on 6 medications when he walked in my office.
Wow.
Now on none.
Wow.
He's taking vitamin supplements. He changed his diet. And he has... His mother can't believe it. His mother, his pediatrician can't believe it.
Exactly.
The pediatrician now called me and wants to send a bunch of her patients to me.
That's awesome. Oh, we have a caller actually on the line.
Okay.
Hello, you're on WRCR.
Hi, how are you? I've been listening to the show.
Okay.
I have a question. I know we talk about people who live in heavily trafficked areas, or maybe in the city, could be at risk, say, asthma or allergies, but I'm trying to wonder, is it only certain people that could be at risk? Because, I mean, let's face it, does it mean everybody that lives in the city with traffic has allergies or asthma? And who's prone and who's not prone? Has there been any research on that?
Okay. Question. I mean, there has not been a lot of research on that. I'm trying to figure out the specifics of who is more at risk and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we do, I mean, the one study that has been done, there have been a couple of studies, but the ones that really, what they really focus on are inner city children. And they do know that inner city children do have a higher risk of asthma. And they're not sure whether that's got to do with air pollution or whether that's got to do with, actually cockroaches.
Right.
And and the little bits of cockroaches that are around. So they're not so sure about that. I mean, yes, anyone who lives in a high pollution, high ozone area is absolutely going to damage their lungs more than anybody else. You know, it would all be nice if we could all live in our country and live by the sea and just have nice fresh sea air all the time to breathe, but that's not going to happen with us.
It's funny, though, because, I mean, it's something like the smoker who's 98 years old, he drinks, he smokes, and he has no problems, and yet, you know, has no lung problems or lung cancer, and there's somebody else who, you know, smokes, and it does affect, and I'm just one, you know, it's just very, I guess the body works strange.
Well, the body works strange, but I would bet you, and we could do the, you know, we could talk again in 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to bet you that there's going to be a lot less of those 98-year-olds who smoke and drink and have no problems than there are. You know, I bet you there's going to be more now than there are a generation from now.
Mm.
Because I think when they were their age, they didn't have all of the assaults that we have on our body. And we have so many different assaults on our body.
Definitely.
Especially, and people always forget about this, the poor food supply. Our food supply is so malnourished. We have such a malnourished food supply that we have to put additives in everything. We have to enrich food. And the only reason we have to enrich them is because the soil doesn't give us any B vitamins, or it doesn't give us any chromium, it doesn't give us any nutrition. And I think that's why so many people are overweight as well, is because they eat more calories because they're trying to get the nutrition.
I also wonder if a lifestyle of stress has a lot to play into this too, with allergies and...
It certainly does. Mm. I mean, they had done some research in Europe that looked at stress. And it looked at adrenal cortisol levels, like cortisol levels, and it looked at DHEA levels and things like that. And those who had the lowest had the highest incidences of asthma and allergies.
Right.
And that's a direct correlation of stress in the body.
Okay, thank you for calling. Okay,
you're welcome.
Let's go on to the foods that you can eat. Can you list some of those?
Sure.
There's some great...
There's plenty of foods that you can eat. Since we didn't necessarily talk about the foods you can eat, I'd like to put them in a little category.
Oh, okay. So, I know you have no cheese at all on that list, though.
Yeah,
isn't that a hard thing to do?
It is. But you know what? You have to realize these are not forever. These are not forever things. These are just things until you've calmed your inflammation down.
That's what I was actually going to ask you. Once it goes away, you'll be fine then? You can, you know, sneak a... burger, no,
absolutely.
Or, you know, with ketchup if you wanted, then you can.
Okay. This is not meant to be lifelong.
It's
meant to be sort of, let's fix what's going on. And then, you know what, after you've done it for a year, you don't want to go back.
Right.
To the
it is all healthy eating, actually, though.
That's all I'm asking people to do is use healthy fats and oils, you know.
Right.
So lean proteins, right? Nuts. Seeds, no cheese, but we could do vegetables. I mean, there's tons of vegetables that people can eat, and people forget about them all the time. Whole grains. I mean, some people have to be off the grains. Depends on what their food sensitivity shows them. Usually, kids have to be off the grains. I mean, because they usually have a gluten or a celiac tendency, and so they usually have to be off the grains. The adults usually don't have to be, but sometimes. But if you're going to do it and you're going to do it without the book's help, I would just say get off wheat because wheat is unhealthy. I mean, you know, use spelt, use quinoa, use amaranth, use some of the really healthy, good grains that taste good and are good for you. You know, I mean, at least they have nutrients. They're nutrient dense foods and things, and that's really what we're trying to achieve here, really.
Now, you use a lot of the macadamia nut oil. Why do you use that as opposed to, say, olive oil?
I like macadamia nut oil for hot uses, for cooking, because when you cook with macadamia nut oil, you don't get oxidation. See, olive oil is great in salad dressings and cold uses and things like that, but it burns at a very low temperature. It burns at about 300 degrees. Macadamia nut oil burns at about 420, 415, something like that. So you can actually stir fry with it, you can bake with it, you can do all sorts of things with it, and it's not going to oxidize. So and it also has more of the monounsaturated fats, which are the omega 9 fats, which are the heart healthiest fats, which are neutral fat. So they don't do anything in our bodies. They're completely neutral. They don't. It's not saturated fat, which clogs our arteries. It's not trans fats, which like kill us. It's not omega 3s. which are very healthy, and it's not omega-6s, which are very unhealthy. See, the problem with America is we eat too many omega-6 fatty acids, and omega-6 fatty acids are very inflammatory. They, like, create inflammation in the body. And macadamia nut oil has an equal amount of omega-6 and omega-3, which is what we're trying to achieve in life, is to eat a natural balance of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids.
Right, okay. And you also say don't eat anything that with yeast or that rises?
Right. Yeast is a big problem for most people with allergy. And the reason why most people have internal yeast issues is because we eat too much sugar, we have too many antibiotics. Those are the two big things in America, sugar and antibiotics. So if you get rid of yeast, and that's fermented foods too, so that's things like vinegar and sort of anything that rises. I'm trying to think some of the odd ones that people might realize. Ketchup has more sugar in it than ice cream. So you have to realize that sugar feeds the yeast. So you've got to get rid of the sugar, and you've got to get rid of the yeast. So and cheese is fermented, unfortunately, so you kind of have to get rid of cheese for a little while.
What about organic ketchup? Is that different?
Nope. It uses organic tomatoes, which is fine, and it may not add sugar to it, which is a nice thing. But, it's funny. There's 300 standardized foods in the United States that the government says you do not have to mention how much sugar is in there. And ketchup is one of them, and iodized salt is another one. There's sugar in iodized salt.
Oh, there's sugar in salt?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
Yep. And like if you buy, your regular common, 19 cents or 49 cents salt off the shelf, it's got sugar.
How much sugar is in it? Or say a teaspoon, would you know?
I don't really know how much there is in it, but there's sugar in there. I mean, it's scary.
Wow. Now, what if somebody's a diabetic, though, and they're watching their intake?
They just don't know.
That should be on the label. Why is it not on the label?
Because there's 300 foods. Food labeling. Food labeling is all about who has the biggest lobby that particular year. I mean, food labeling is not to make us healthy. Food labeling is to make, the food companies happy. And so they argue. That's what took trans fat so long for us to be able to label it on the label. We knew from the 70s that trans fats were unhealthy. And it took 30, almost 40 years to get the government to insist that it gets put on the food label, and that's because it's cheap. And we know that as little as 3 grams of trans fatty acids per day increases your risk for heart disease and stroke. And the average donut has 9 grams of trans fat in it.
Now, how about high fructose corn syrup? That seems to be in all this, a lot of the stuff the kids are eating, the cereals.
Right, and that's really
scary. Juices. Why? Is that the same kind of thing with the food industry?
Yes, that's the same kind of thing. It's because our corn is our biggest subsidized crop next to wheat. Wheat, corn, and then soybeans are our biggest subsidized crops in America. So what they have to do is they encourage the corn farmers to produce as much corn as they can, and then since there's only so many uses for corn, they've decided that they can make it into sugar. So they make it into sugar. It's cheaper than sugar. And therefore, that's why it's in soda, and that's why it's in candy bars and all that stuff. So all that food remains cheap. But it's in all of those. It's in all of those foods. And the problem is it's metabolized faster than sugar. So it actually, you get a better buzz from it. So it's more addictive. And it's not. Corn is in so many things, from Band-Aids to soda to paper plates. Corn is ubiquitous in our society. You can't get away from it. And that's why so many of these kids are corn sensitive. And once you get rid of corn, guess what? They don't have asthma anymore. I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. But we're killing ourselves with our food supply. I mean, we really are. And it's unfortunate. But people are starting to be aware of it, certainly, and we're getting more and more aware of it each year, and I'm so proud of everybody who's out there listening to shows like this, because it's only because of you guys that we're able to do stuff like this. So I must congratulate everybody for listening.
I just want to go to that high fructose corn syrup again, only because I know the schools have I don't know about all the schools, so I can't say all, but I know some of the schools have gotten rid of the soda vending machines, and they replaced it with juice machines.
Right.
But if you read it, it looks like the kids are drinking something that's orange that could be a form of juice, but then you read the ingredients and it's, you know, high fructose corn syrup once again on there.
Absolutely. Well,
right?
Because it's cheap.
I know that.
It's cheap. And then the profit margins stay high. And this whole juice thing, I mean, let's think about juice, okay? Juice is, we know by scientific clinical evidence, tells us the kids who drink more juice are more prone to be diabetic and overweight. So why do we, do you know there's more sugar in the equivalent of, like, in 6 ounces of apple juice than there is in 6 ounces of Coca-Cola. And yet we just love to give our kids apple juice and orange juice and all that stuff because we think it's so healthy. But it's not, folks. It's not.
Right.
Give them the apple. Give them the orange. That's healthy.
What if they juice it themselves? Is that...
Same thing. It doesn't matter. I mean, to get a glass of juice, you've got to juice 6 oranges.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of sugar. You know, when you could just eat one orange.
That's true, right.
And then you get all the fiber, you get the pulp, you get the phytonutrients, you get all of the good, healthy, fun stuff in there, too.
Right. Now, I want to ask you, with the meal plan that you have set up in the book, can you kind of do what you want with that? Can you say on one day you want to switch lunch, maybe with dinner on the next day? Oh, you can.
Switch anything you want.
Oh, okay.
It's just sort of a guideline. I mean,
right.
I tend not to be rigid when it comes to things like that because... there's two schools of thought out there. One is tell people to be rigid so that they know what to do and can't make any mistakes. And the other school is, you know, just give them guidelines. And I'm in that school because I want people to be educated and learn.
Right.
So then when I'm not here talking to you and the book's not in front of you, you still know what to do. And that's really what it's all about for me. It's the education. It's getting people educated.
Right. I actually want to just let you know I made that autumn soup yesterday and it was good.
Did you like it?
I liked it very much.
Oh, good.
I just want to give out that number quickly for that Alcat.
Okay.
It's 1-800-872-5228. 1-800-872-5228. For anyone that is interested in having a skin test, they can call that number and they can set something up. And many people who suffer from allergies and asthma feel miserable. Health in 30 is here to inform you and educate you, and it's helped you to become proactive and help you make the best possible choices. Explore new ways, but always talk with your health care professional. Don't stop any of your medications. Work with your doctor and health care professionals and come up with a plan that's best for you. For more information on Dr. Pescatore's integrative approach, you can contact him at www.piimdocs.com. That is... Again, www.piimdocs.com. And the book, once again, is called The Allergy and Asthma Cure. Dr. Pescatore, thank you so very much for all your insight and your knowledge. And the book is great. And if anyone has any questions, I gave the website.
They
can contact
the website can get our phone number. We're right in New York City. We're not too far away from you.
Where are you located in the city?
Madison and 40th. So we're perfectly situated to Metro North.
Right, not far at all.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Next week, join us. Frank Urias, the president of Drug-Free Sports, will join us to talk about the disturbing number of high school athletes who use steroids. We'll talk about the dangers, the risks, and the testing. So join us next week. You don't want to miss that. And that wraps it up for today. Don't forget to check out the healthin30.com website. It has all the information you need to know. Don't forget, Healthin30 wants to hear from you. Go to healthin30.com. Email us any health topic you want to know more about, and we'll address it on future shows. If any business is interested in advertising or sponsoring Healthin30, go to contact us at healthin30.com. Your business will be heard by thousands. And as always, Healthin30 is for your information only, for you to become proactive, not to diagnose or treat. Always seek help from your health care professional. Thanks, and have a great week.
AM 1300, WRCR, Spring Valley.
USA Radio Network News, Dennis Martin reporting. President Bush told the White House news conference today the administration's counterterrorism strategies must be approved by Congress.
We have a duty. We have a duty to work together to give our folks on the front line the tools necessary to protect America. Time's running out. Congress needs to act wisely and promptly.
The president called competing Senate committee bills that seek to frame the rules for interrogating and trying terror suspects an important debate, but he argued that his proposals offer more clarity.
But this enemy has struck us, and they want to strike us again. And we'll give our folks the tools necessary to protect the country. That's our job.
The president rejected speculation that his proposals would promote torture. Canada has decided to send more troops and tanks to Afghanistan. No exact numbers were announced. State and local health departments in 11 states are working on an E. coli outbreak that seems to be tied to bagged fresh spinach.
Certainly more information is needed to help identify a particular brand or lot number or source, which is what we're helping with as well in terms of doing the interviews of individuals and trying to find out what they ate.
So far, one person's died. At least 50 others have been sickened by this outbreak. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 33 points to 11,561. USA Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. How do you tell if an air purifier is worth what you paid for it? Well, place a balloon over it. If the balloon flies up in the air like it does with an Orrick air purifier, that's pure fresh air pushing it. But if it falls to the floor, there's virtually no air movement. Try my Orrick air purifier free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Remember, if the balloon doesn't fly, I wouldn't buy. Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Orrick XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL.
Muslims are demanding an apology from Pope Benedict. During a speech Tuesday, the Pope quoted a 14th century Byzantine emperor who said all that Muhammad brought was evil.
In a statement, the Vatican said the Holy Father's intention is to cultivate a position of respect and dialogue towards other religions and cultures, which includes Islam. However, the remarks have prompted much anger, including from senior religious officials in Turkey, where the Pope is due in November on his first papal visit to a Muslim country. Catherine Drew reporting.
Ohio Congressman Bob Ney has pleaded guilty to charges of conspiracy and making false statements in connection to the political corruption investigation of now disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Iran, Venezuela, and other countries that are critical of the United States are bringing a resolution supporting Iran's nuclear ambitions before the summit of non-aligned nations getting underway in Cuba. USA Radio Network News.
And I'm Blaze Gomez with your local news here on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland. Senator Hillary Clinton announced unanimous Senate approval yesterday of the Children Media Research and Advancement Act. The legislation authorizes new research into the effects of viewing and using electronic media, including television, computers, video games, and the Internet on children's cognitive, social, physical, and psychological development. Clinton joined a bipartisan coalition of senators to introduce the act back in 2004 with the backing from a variety of child advocacy organizations. The Camera Act establishes a children and media research program and directs an examination into the role and effects of electronic media. A recent report by the Kaiser Family Foundation found that no reliable information or research into the impact of heavy exposure to electronic media is available in regards to very young children. The final hearing on the issue of children's health in Rockland County is scheduled for next week. Rockland County Legislature Chairwoman Harriet Cornell announced the third public hearing entitled Sustaining Children's Health, which will be held on Wednesday, September 20th from 3:30 to 6 p.m. at the Nanuet Public Library. The meeting will focus on ways the medical community, schools, government officials, and families can work together to ensure healthy choices for our children. Chairwoman Cornell is seeking testimony from interested individuals, representatives, and officials. Contact Debbie Clock for more information or to register at 845-638-5773. The Senate is expected to act today on legislation to provide parity in insurance coverage for mental illnesses, according to Senator Thomas Moynihan, chairman of the Senate's Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Committee. The measure would require insurance companies to cover most mental illnesses and would require a broad range of coverage for children. Timothy's Law is named after 12-year-old Timothy O'Clair, a Schenectady boy who committed suicide in 2001. Timothy's parents struggled to afford his mental health care after their insurance limits were met. Over 1,800 customers in Valley Cottage were without power this morning. ONR representative Mike Donovan reported that an incident at 4:57 a.m. caused downed wires in the vicinity of Old Lake Road and Forest Glen Road. Repair crews are on the scene and have restored power to some 1,500 customers. Repairs affecting the last 250 customers in the immediate area of the downed wires are expected to take several hours as of press time. Legislators Connie Coker and John Murphy will hold a legislative update on railroad crossing and safety improvements in quiet zones also on Wednesday, September 20th at the Orangetown Town Hall at 7:30 p.m. Coker and Murphy have scheduled county representatives, transportation agency experts, and Orangetown supervisor Thorn Kleiner to give updates on railroad safety and noise in response to concern from community residents. All Rockland residents are welcome to attend. For more information, contact Amanda Roman at 845-638-5751 or email ramona@co.rockland.us. And finally, the Town of Ramapo Big Screen Classic Fall Film Series begins this Saturday at the Lafayette Theater in Suffern. The series begins with the 1941 classic Citizen Kane, and all Big Screen Classic presentations start at 11:30 a.m. Ramapo seniors are free of charge. Rockland seniors pay only $1, and all other tickets are $6. Contact Phil TC at 845-357-5100, extension 201, for more information. And once again, this has been Blaze Gomez with your local news. For more news and a complete listing of your community's events, log on to WRCR.com. And for a check on your Rockland County roads, let's go to Craig Shankman with Metro Traffic. Craig?
Looks like an accident has been cleared. Be through way north at exit 12. Southbound side, some slow volume heading through Nyack. Altitude Parkway North, busy through Danuette, Box 9 and 10. Very wet outside, of course. Lots of puddles. Use a lot of caution. Your update is brought to you by Volkswagen Tri-State Dealers. Get a great deal on a 2006 Volkswagen Passat during their year-end clearance while supplies last. Visit TriStateBW.com for a dealer near you. And this is Craig Shankman with Metro Traffic on WRCR. First with Rockland Traffic.
Weather.
There still will be occasional showers around Rockland County through this evening, and it could even be an isolated thunderstorm. Otherwise, just mostly cloudy and lows 55 to 60. Then a big improvement. A shower early in the morning on Saturday, followed by gradual clearing, partly sunny in the afternoon, highs 70 to 75. Saturday night, partly cloudy skies and lows 53 to 58. And Sunday, a spectacular summer-like day, highs in the low 80s, partly to mostly sunny. Monday, brilliant sunshine, just like summer, highs in the lower 80s. For Radio Rockland 1300, this is meteorologist Mark Hammond.
Up-to-the-minute weather information is always available on the AM 1300 website. Day or night, when you want the weather, check our website at WRCR.com. And it's currently 65 degrees.